The government of South Sudan and the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, have embarked on a project aimed at strengthening the capacity of the government and communities to adapt to climate change. Well, the five-year project will focus on establishing three components to address current and future impact of climate change. Now, to hear more on these, I'm glad to tell you that this morning here, we have our guest with us who will be explaining more and telling us, of course, about this particular project. Well, we have this morning here, Kwajpet, who is from UNDP. Good morning. Welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show. And we have Eshe Daniels. Good morning, Eshe. And he's from UNEP and Nairobi. Good to have you. And we have also John Manyok Payai, who is from the South Sudan Ministry of Environment and Forestry. Gentlemen, good morning to you and welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Glad to be here.
Great. Let's begin, of course, about knowing this particular project. So let's start with you, Kwach. Just tell us more about this particular project. What is it all about?
Thank you so much, Sibid, and thanks for having us in the studio. As you rightly said it, so this particular project is going to support the capacity of the government of South Sudan and the communities in South Sudan to cope with the impact of climate change. Maybe I can give a little bit of a highlight of the three components you have already talked about.
Yes, please, go ahead.
So the first component looks at enhancing the government's capacity to predict climate change, and that's come with establishing climate prediction facilities, the early warning system, and basically setting up hydrometeorological center to be able to monitor and sort of provide early warning information. Within that same component as well, we have the policy development aspect, which look at reviewing and developing key policies within the government. One of those policies including the environmental policies within the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. The third component look at eco-based system which support the communities. And in this, we are looking at two target communities in Kapweta and Terekeka. So what this means, the eco-based solution looks at how we can reclaim degraded land, how we can support communities against the impact of drought and floods, and how they can adapt to those in a in a manner that does not jeopardize the environment. The third component look at the knowledge production, because we have a very limited knowledge in terms of the climate change issues. So we will be working with the academia, particularly the University of Juba, to set up a sort of a research-based sort of curriculum to support young South Sudanese who are willing to venture into that area of research and kind of solution generation on how South Sudan can better place itself to deal with climate change issues.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll get back to you, of course. Thank you. Eshe Daniel, good to have you once again on the Miraya Breakfast Show. So what could you say are the climate change issues that are facing the people of South Sudan particularly?
Thank you for that, CB. I would say nearly 87% of the South Sudanese population currently depends on whether it's agriculture, livestock, and forestry. Increased unpredictability and intensity of, you know, seasonal rainfalls, increased occurrence of drought, agricultural ecosystem and water resources being put under severe pressure by the climatic risks are leading to, you know, degraded ecosystems. And of course, if we have degraded ecosystems, the communities and the country as a whole is not receiving the ecosystem services, including, you know, water, timber, and so on. Of course, you know, forest and wetland ecosystems are expected to be particularly impacted by climate change, leading, you know, reduction to critical habitats and loss in biodiversity. So these key impacts on in the water resource are related to reduced river flows, reduced water quality, and increased, I mean, conflicts on natural resources, including, you know, access to water, access to productive land. So we are hoping projects such as the one that is starting today will go a long way to addressing some of the climate risks that we are already seeing. About 50, 60 years ago, South Sudan used to be a net exporter of food. Currently, around 50% of its food is being imported from the region. And that is also a reflection of other challenges, but also a reflection on how some of the ecosystems are being degraded and how we will need to do a lot of work on, you know, reclaiming some of the degraded land and rehabilitating it so that it becomes productive again.
All right, let's talk to John. John, you are, of course, from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry. What will you say the climate, you know, like some of the really climate issues, challenges facing South Sudan at the moment?
Yeah, thank you so much, Sabit, and also I'm actually happy to be here. One of the first things that we're actually facing as climate change issues in South Sudan are actually regarding to temperature rise as one of the key issues, then the issues of rainfalls as the second one. But in the previous year also, we have been also having a lot of heat waves, and you have seen it in the last 3 weeks. It has been, South Sudan temperature has actually been going up, mostly to 40, and this has actually been indicated that in the future projection that temperatures will also be increasing, and it has already been increasing by 0.2 from 1986 until 2039, as it has been projected also by the few, that it is saying that the upper part of the country will actually increase by 0.2, and that indicate that that increments in temperature will actually affect most of the things. The current challenges actually regarding to climate change are actually categorized into two, and this is the issues that are going to be addressed by the projects, looking at the floods and looking at the droughts. And you are all aware that in the past 3 years, the issues of floods has been a concern. It has actually almost displacing almost around 200,000 people, and beyond that across the regions, and mostly 7 states are actually affected by floods South Sudan.
Isn't that confusing though, because we're talking about heat wave here and we're talking about flooding at the same time, meaning too much water. How is that?
Yes, currently if you look at the scientific studies which have been done, these two issues always concur at the same times. And because of the atmospheric systems and hydrological circle, and also looking at the South Sudan zones, it is actually not falling within the same. And that's why you find it that in the other part, which are actually near to the river banks, you find that this area actually prone to floods. And if looking to the other cases, for example, the one for Eastern Equatoria, which is actually most of the times experiencing the droughts as a key issue, going to a well in most cases, which is actually drought. So the scientifics also show that these events, the extreme event, either floods or drought, always happen at the same times.
All right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, of course, where the big conversation begins every morning. Now, if you have a strong view, please don't hesitate to share your thought with us. Our text message line is 0912177141. Now, Coach, you are from UNDP, and of course, you are also supporting this particular project. Let's talk about what could you like to see at the end of the project, particularly what will be the outcome? What are we predicting here?
Thank you so much again. So as you've heard from Daniel as well as Payai, this country is suffering from a lot of issues related to climate change. And climate change is not an isolated issue. It is an issue that has impact almost in every other thing, talking about conflict, talking about food security, talking about generally everything. So what this project, what personally I would hope to see, and what the partners that are investing their resources and time in this would want to see at the end of the day is government institution, particularly the South Sudan Meteorological Department and the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and the Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs and the Department of Disaster Risk Reduction, as well as Ministry of Water Resources, well incapacitated to coordinate and to manage environmental and climate issues in a manner that save the interests of the people of South Sudan. The second thing is that with this hydrometeorological center set up, We hope to have climate information downscaling so that it is going to help a farmer in a will in Yambio, in Melakal, to make decision based on that information on what sort of crop to plant, when to plant, and how to do so in a manner that their crops will not be destroyed by climate change or flood or droughts. So that is one. The second outcome which we would which we want to see out of this project is a South Sudan that produces knowledge and generates solution on how to tackle climate change issues. And having that kind of knowledge production embedded in the academia so that we can produce the next generation, the next generation of experts who can solve problems in that area.
All right. Now, Daniel, you work in Nairobi, Kenya, and how will you compare the South Sudan situation when it comes to climate changes and in the other East African countries?
Well, like he said, I don't think climate change has borders, especially in our region. You will see that there are very similar climate risks across the region. Maybe even just going back to some of the points he raised regarding some of the flooding, you will also notice some of the flooding is not only because of climatic conditions within South Sudan, but some of it might be also affected because of the wider, you know, Lake Victoria basin and how it plays out, you know, with the water levels in South Sudan. So I would say the climate risks will be similar depending, you know, on the region. Even within Kenya or Tanzania, you will have, you know, different regions that are facing different climate hazards. What will be different is how the countries you know, how ready they are
prepared
to
tackle,
or how ready they are to, I mean, how prepared they are to address some of these climate risks. Of course, the government of South Sudan has made quite headway. They have already had finished the National Adaptation Program of Action. I think they have already ratified their National Environment Policy. They have already, you know, finalized their communication, you know, continuing their communication to the UNFCCC. I think the National Biodiversity Strategy is already ratified. They have a country program that was finalized with support of the GCF. The national, the first national adaptation plan has already been developed, and the government is currently working on I think ratifying the second national adaptation plan that will provide further information to the decision-making process within the government.
Right. Thank you. Now, that's the time we have just before you all go. Payai, let's begin with you. What could you like to see done, especially so government can be able to handle all these challenges?
Yeah, one of the things that I would actually like to see and being actually put in place here is to make sure that that the government actually have the capacities to implement the projects. But what is actually required most is actually to provide these financial resources to the government so that they'll be in a position to implement the activities, their plans, their development strategies that are actually put in place.
All right.
And as I actually come back from that, I would actually like to echo that South Sudan has actually done a lot in terms of policies or enabling frameworks. And this is why currently we're having these projects. This project was one of the projects that was identified under the NAPA, and also it was also identified under the National Determined Contribution, the first INC that was submitted in 2015, and also the National Adaptation Plan of Action that was submitted in 2016. And also it is also in line with the initial national communications that the South Sudan also submitted to the United Nations Framework Convention in 2018. So the projects at the end, and we are actually looking at it, that looking at this, that the capacities of the governments and the communities are actually built. this is what we are actually looking to as a government.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Payai. And yes, Daniel, let's come back to you. What will be your final remarks?
Final remarks is UNEP has been in South Sudan since 2009, and we continue to be a partner with the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, but with the whole country as well. And we hope we continue to see adaptation mainstreamed into every aspect of development. Mm-hmm. And look forward to seeing the next 5 years and seeing the project implemented.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Kwaj, we conclude with you, of course.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sevit, for having us. So for my side, UNDP has been a true partner of the people and the government of South Sudan in the journey to the sustainable development goal. Understandably, this is not a journey of one person. So mm-hmm. this is why you see us also here with the government and with UNEP, our key partners, talking about this. So we hope to continue to do so until South Sudan, the people, the government, have the capacity to run on their own and they can deliver so effectively. Mm-hmm. So this project we are putting in our key resource. You will see a lot of upcoming things for the day. UNDP will be having a lot of engagement this morning with the Minister of Environment and Forestry and in the launch of this project, and as well as in terms of handing over key instrument from UNDP to sort of enable the government deliver this project so effectively mm-hmm. through our support, through the support from UNEPs and of course our donor agency, Global Environment Facility.
Thank you so much, Kwaj. Thank you, Daniel, and thank you, Payai, for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.